Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Pro Wrestling Interviews. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and we are glad to be with you tonight. It has been the sun and fun capital of the world here, I'll tell you that, at about 67, 68 degrees and beautiful all weekend. So we're glad to share some of that sunshine to everybody here on this podcast. First of all, we have from Georgia the one and only Sinister. How are you doing tonight, Sinister?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
We're glad to have you
here. We're here, brother.
So thanks a lot for being here. And from our northernmost outpost, Indianapolis, Indiana, it's Todd Saxon. How are you doing?
Outstanding and supernatural. Ecstatic to be here, team.
Well, we're glad you're here for sure, and thanks a lot. And our host for tonight, and I'm turning it over to you, Mr. Stellar Steven, Steve Logan. How you doing tonight, buddy? And take it away.
I'm doing good. Just glad we can have a panel tonight. And I did want to ask, I know there's a lot to talk about with wrestling and combat sports right now, but I wanted to ask Sinister and Todd, do you have a favorite Amazing Velvet stories or memories to share since his birthday passed recently?
Oh, man, yeah, definitely got to celebrate the Amazing Velvet's birthday. I don't have anything in the ring, and everything's been via podcasts and stuff. I can share some of those stories. But, man, I tell you what, I know Sinister got some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you
what. Yes,
sir. I know Velvet loves to get under his skin and bring up his win over Sinister every time he gets a chance.
Yeah, he does. He loves to do that, definitely. He loves doing that. Yeah. But, Dave's something else. I do remember the first time I worked in his company was up in Charleston. And I got to say that I had a blast because he had that old WCW type venue, and the crowd was just crazy, man. I mean, but one of the most funniest moments, because I know this day, one of his favorite moments, is when I wrestled him for the world championship title. And he did beat me, I give him that. But once again, you know, he had to get some help from Tommy Feathers with peanut butter jelly time technique. And ever since then, he's been rubbing it in my face, man. So he's a funny guy.
From what I understand, there was somebody else helping too. Wasn't Susan Green helping as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think one was hitting me from the front and the other one was hitting me from behind the knee. I think that was Susan. And then when I stand back up, they switch off again. So yeah, Susan was involved in that too. Yeah. Oh, by the way, where is Susan?
Susan she's in Canada right now.
Oh,
you talk about being in parts unknown, but she is in parts unknown, and so she'll be back next week.
Okay, hey, yeah, I'm glad she's okay. You know, everything's doing good for her. Yeah,
I think she's doing much better. She's a nice lady. She really is. She's one of the classiest acts wrestling has ever seen.
We'll definitely have to hear more about her Canada travel when she comes back.
Yeah, she'll come on. I'll call her this week and see what we can do. And, this is Dr. John. I want to say happy birthday weekend to Velvet. You're just the best. I started the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and I immediately called Velvet. I said, you're going to help me. He said, why is that? I said, because I don't know what I'm doing, but I got it started. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, okay, I'll help you. And we had a great first round, and second round is coming up sooner than later. We'll let everybody know. And that's the word on the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I did get down to see him just over a week ago. Wife and I ran down to South Carolina. You know, saw in the group chat, I posted the photo. Man, that's been a long time coming. That has been a long time coming, but we got to sit down, break bread with Velvet and his wife, Dawn, and my wife, Yuki, came down there with us. And that was a good thing for him to actually see her, because I think Dr. John's probably one of the only other ones on the podcast, well, Papa Stroh, that knows she actually exists. I think most people find it hard to believe anybody would deal with me for 30-plus years. But we all got to sit down and break bread and hang out and talk and laugh. And I don't think Dawn will let Velvet and I out to play very often, because we were just being us. Had a heck of a good time.
I got to say this about your wife, Todd. I spent Christmas with you guys 3 years ago. She is the nicest lady. How does she put up with you?
Well, actually, you want to know the story? So this is what she said. She said that the preacher promised her one good year, and she's sticking it out till she gets that. So she's waiting for that one good year of marriage.
Wow.
Okay, now that's one of the most interesting things I've ever heard.
That's what she told me.
So she's hopeful, huh?
Hey, she's optimistic. I'll give her that.
Well, that's good. She's got to be optimistic with you, but that's okay. No.
Danger field of the marriage.
No, all I gotta say is, y'all are really two of the nicest people that I know, and your son and his wife are also some of the nicest people that I know. I came up there; it was me and Papa Stroh. We came over there to, was that Garion's place?
That was Garion and Casey's place.
It was just marvelous. And you know what? I hope we can do it again maybe this Christmas. Are y'all going to be down?
I have no intention of traveling for the holidays. That's just the way it is. I'll tell you all, and I know we got to get back to Velvet here, but look, flights are just more expensive that time of the year, and I'm cheap, and flights are just crazy right now.
Yeah.
Well, look at the gas prices. Dr. John here just paid $4.99 a gallon in Lumberton. And, I mean, Lumberton is not New York City. And I called my attorney. I said, how much did you pay? He said, well, a month ago I paid $52 to come from Washington, D.C. down to North Carolina. Yesterday, I filled up my tank, and it was $73 to do the same trip. And I gasped.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, absolutely. But let's go back to Wednesday sitting with Velvet. He loaded us up with photos, and one of his shirts fits Yuki perfect. It's awesome. And I don't think I posted that shot. And there, the wife wearing the shirt. See, I'll get there and post that in our group chat. It was so good to sit down and just hang out. No agenda. Just sitting down, hanging out. You know what I mean, guys?
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to plan a visit at some point, but it's always great talking to Velvet via podcast or phone calls. Sometimes I I like that I get to pick his brain over the phone or even about stuff that's not wrestling. So it's always a pleasure to get into a long conversation with him over the phone. But, Sinister, I wanted to ask you, how many matches have you had with Velvet? If you remember how many.
All together, see, I want to say at least two matches with Velvet. Because what it was, Velvet, he would come down, he was going down to South Carolina when I was wrestling for WFJ and doing a couple of shows with Tim. And then, you know, sometime we would go up there where he is and do some shows. So basically, I say all together, I know it was a world championship match, and I think it was it was three, but we did a tag team match. Then we did two tag team matches. And I got to say, Velvet moves good. He really does. You know, and I like working with him because, you know, he knows what he's doing in the ring. He's a good technician, and he is an entertainer. I say that. He does know how to entertain. Now, the Velvet character, how he does it, I don't know because I know I couldn't do it. But he is an entertainer. I give him that. And, he's one of the best. You know, I can't understand how he didn't get to the big time. Because if anybody should have got into the big leagues at the time, it should have been him. Because, you know, he can do it all. He can breathe. He can wrestle. He can work the crowd. You know, he can manage. I mean, the guy's just, you know, he's all around good.
Got a bunch of his matches. I've seen a handful of them, I guess, but more accurate than a bunch. From YouTube and such. Now, you were talking about tag team, and did you do any partner stuff, or you were always a foe?
I was always a foe. Yeah, because you know most of my characters was heel. And, you know, most of his characters, everything he done was face. So, you know, I was...
Yeah,
you know,
well, that depended on where he was at. If you listen to some of his stories, man, he said there were places, boy, they would just take a beating for their characters.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
They would just take a beat. Okay, so memorable stuff from the tag team matches. At least then you knew you were getting beat up by more than one person, Sinister. Good grief.
Yeah.
Better than a singles match for a title.
I mean, was Susan harder to was Susan more difficult to wrestle than Velvet?
No. They both the same. You know, Susan, she's real good at what she does, and she works with you in the ring, and neither one of them are difficult. You know, because when I wrestled Susan, She had Judy Martin as a tag team partner.
Oh, yeah.
And, that was the match where the guy who was supposed to be my partner, he got his ponytail tied to the top rope. And I couldn't figure out why this guy wasn't coming over tag team. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it wasn't for him, I would have never met Susan or Judy.
Man, see, you're in there talking about that. What did they teach you about storytelling in the ring?
Well, in the ring is like when you get in the ring and whoever you're facing the opponent, it's just like when Ric Flair got in the ring with Dusty Rhodes. He would call Dusty Rhodes all kind of names and he would say out loud why he didn't like you. And that's what they taught me. Because in the ring, when they, like say, for example, if I was to hit Velvet and knock him down, and even though he's doing that character, I said, yeah, that's why I like, that's why I knocked you down, because I don't like you, little sugar mill boys like you. So that's letting the crowd know, oh, he don't like that type of guy. no, nothing against people with that lifestyle, that is. But it was just telling the story.
Yeah, and the character stuff, just to be clear.
Yeah. So in the rain, that was just, they wouldn't know the story that this is a guy that don't like this guy for this reason. And he's trying to take all this frustration out on him. So that's what they taught me a lot about, you know, storytelling in the rain, because you don't just do it in the rain, but sometimes you got to go outside the rain and get in the faces of the fans and talk to fans about their hero, you know, because the more you do that, the more they're going to hate you as a heel, which means you're doing your job, and it makes the face job a whole lot easier. Yeah. So it's a lot that goes in it. Yeah, but, yeah, I love working with Velvet and Susan. I really do. They are two great individuals, and you can learn a lot from them.
Well, what were the finishes of those matches, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, I think, if I remember, I want to say it was a body splash that Dave hit me with. Either he came off the top rope or Tommy picked him up and slammed him on me. So I know that was one finisher, and I got hit with a 1-2-3 because Dave, Tommy, and I think Susan, they piled up on top of me when I couldn't kick out. So that was one finisher I know he's done. And the other finisher in the tag team match that I did with Susan, they did pretty much the same thing. So it was always, you know, let's get on top of the big guy and try to hold him down, because one of us can't do it by ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, more like David and Goliath.
No. Dr. John, if you see the queue, Stro might be calling in.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me get
no
him.
No problem.
Johnny on the spot, Steve. Well done.
There you go. That's right. I was. Whoa, there he is. So, greetings to Bob Strode. He's coming.
Baby.
Hey, Papa Strode, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Sorry, I'm dealing with the current thunderstorm warning where I'm at currently. So, but great to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, good to hear from you, brother.
Oh, yeah, same here. Same here.
Yeah, we're just sharing Amazing Velvet stories and memories. Do you have any Amazing Velvet stories you can share tonight?
Oh, man. I guess one that comes to mind is we had a tag match one time, and it was, myself, L.A. Tank, Big Game James, and Amazing Velvet, and all in a tag match, and the whole time, Amazing Velvet, he had the whole Dr. Evil on some going on from Austin Powers, right? And like, the match was good, right? But the whole time, like, if he would grab me in the hole or something, I'd whisper to him, man, wow, that was pretty slick, Dr. Evil. Man, you got a nice repertoire, you know what I mean? And I just kept calling him Dr. Evil the whole night. He kept cracking him up, you know. And he's so entertaining. Oh my God, Amazing Velvet. I just can't. Those of you that are listening, if you haven't seen Amazing Velvet in action, I mean, you just have to see him to know what we're talking about. He's such a skilled, entertaining individual, for sure. I mean, never a dull moment.
Yeah, I got a sample of that when I saw his match with LA Tank on YouTube way back. Glad we can all get a panel a group's of stories of Velvet. I did want to ask Sinister, did you catch any of the UFC fallout from last night, 275? I saw some of it, but definitely the main event. I was interested in that.
No, because I went up to Hooters to try to catch it. And the one over here, they wasn't showing the fight. Then I went to BW3. And by the time I got over there, you know, got into the place, it was over. So I really didn't get to look at it like I wanted to. Yeah, but what happened?
I'll message you. But, yeah, the main event was pretty epic. It was Glover, who was a BJJ black belt. He was the light heavyweight champion. It was his first defense, and he had a war with Yuri Rochko, the Czech samurai himself, and like Yuri is a kickboxer, Muay Thai, and they went almost five rounds. Like, they were in the fifth round, and like the finish was Yuri, who doesn't practice BJJ, he choked out Glover with the rear choke without his hooks in. It was like the last 30 seconds, and it was a back and forth fight. People are saying it's like one of the best UFC fights since like John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson and other fights. So I'm glad I caught some of it last night while I was working. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And then one of the women fighters, the Polish woman, retired. She was like 35, like going to be a mother. And it seemed like it was a good card, but definitely that main event was pretty amazing. That's the general feedback I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the judges were going to probably give it to Glover if it went to decision, but Yuri just last minute, last 3 seconds, pulled out an unexpected submission. And I'm just waiting to see if they run that back, if they do a rematch, or if he gets somebody else. But because Glover is like in his 40s, he's like going to be 43 pretty soon. So he could win it and then retire, or yeah, we'll just see what happens next. But that was pretty cool, because I don't follow the sport too closely, but Yuri is one of my favorite personalities right now. He's like very Bushido, and that was pretty cool getting to see him in action, like in his like first title fight for UFC. It was only his third fight, I believe, but I'll definitely have to message you more about it later. But and then New Japan Dominion was this morning, and then but I did want to ask you guys: did you guys catch Hell in a Cell? What
yeah.
Your guys' thoughts on that? Because the main event surely got a lot of positive feedback.
Cody Rhodes, I gotta take my hat off to him. Because the perform with a torn pectoral, I mean, I got to get to it. I've seen people tear muscles before, even pectoral muscles, and they would be out of the gym for about 2 to 3 months or sometime a year just to heal up. This guy went in like
right.
a trooper, and even though he was in pain, he still put on one of the best performances I've seen. You know, I got to admit, I kind of doubted him at first when he first got to the WWE. But when he got into the cage, in remembrance of his father, he pulled out the bull rope, the cowbell, on the end of it. And I'm like,
wow.
Man, that right there, you ain't seen that in years. And that was like a personal tribute, because Dusty Rhodes mastered that type of match. You know,
absolutely.
And
that was incredible. And
yeah.
I mean, it was like as if Cody was like reborn when he came back to WWE. And And you, like you said, not many individuals could have pulled that off with the injury. I mean, I can't even fathom the pain he was going through the entire time he was doing that.
Yeah, man.
Right. And not only that, he worked the next night as he was having a send-off. Seth Rollins attacked him to get some more heat before Cody left. So we'll see if Cody does come back, if they continue the Rollins feud later on. I think Cody could be a contender, like a strong possibility for a Royal Rumble winner, but we'll see how the title picture changes with Roman Reigns being part-time. But
there's
that was definitely impressive.
There's a report that says that he will be out like 9 months with the injury after he's done the surgery. Honestly, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Reigns versus The Rock for WrestleMania, but honestly, I want to see Cody and Roman. Really,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Especially the history, the families, man, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
I think if Cody can get cleared by WrestleMania, that would be a good match. If The Rock, the schedule's free, I could see that match too, but I just don't see The Rock winning it. But it would be big draw regardless. But, I think Cody and Reigns could be a big program for them too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But,
That was the big story following the pay-per-view and the fallout from that. I know Gunther won the title from Ricochet, but I'm not too surprised, but I think it's good that Gunther's got something going for him with the IC title. And I just hope that he can defend it on the pay-per-views coming up. Because, you know, you would think with Roman Reigns being part-time, possibly not going to be on every pay-per-view, you'd have to have your other titles defended on the show for sure.
Yeah. Well,
with Gunther being IC champion, I mean, I would love to see some matches with him and Drew McIntyre, or that, you know, some strong babyface lead into it.
Mm-hmm. Is the IC title on SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown. Raw's got the U.S. title too, as of now.
That's right.
You know how they're always changing stuff up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I assume Drew McIntyre's on SmackDown, right?
Yes.
That would definitely make sense for sure. Even though I don't think the brand split really matters. I think that definitely would be an interesting match.
Yeah.
For that brand, yeah.
One thing I'd like to say, I don't know if anybody see it, but the Judgment Day, now they put on a good performance, but they also surprised me too, because a quick surprise, because, you know, I was expecting these guys to be like, you know, like a small NWO version, but now they'd have turned on the leader. And to be honest with you, I think they got a good thing going there.
Yeah, I'm very confused by it, because Finn Balor is the one that lost, but then they turn on Edge, and so he's the weak link. It just doesn't make any logical sense. I think a turn would have been fine if they just held on, progress the story long enough where, like, it'd be fine for Edge to leave the group. But I think they turned on Edge too soon. I'm fine with Finn Balor being a faction leader or a him turning villain, but I think it was too soon to turn on Edge. And I think the rumors are that Edge wasn't feeling the supernatural elements of the group, but I don't get that either because he had the whole Brood tribute that he was doing in his entrances. So,
you know,
yeah.
I tell you,
it's really
weird. He's going to have to do a lot of butt kissing. With all the trash talking he's been doing. And can you imagine him going to AJ now and Liv and trying to make peace with them? Oh, my goodness.
That's what I don't get. They wanted to – they turned Finn and they turned Edge. I don't know why you can't just push AJ. I know you lost Cody Rhodes, so you need another person to fill that spot. Why can't you just put AJ in that spot? AJ's a fan favorite.
I mean, that'd be just like Adam Sandler going to Carl Weathers. One movie says, I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. You're good looking. I'm ugly. You know what I mean?
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, right.
And,
too funny.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to see if they do align, but I think Edge is just better as a villain. And especially, I don't really watch Raw that much, but I kind of wanted to see more of that Judgment Day Edge, and they already took it away from me. So it's a little bit disappointing for me because I like the whole dark, supernatural persona he was doing.
Yeah. One thing that could fit that right now is that he's coming back for revenge. So if possible, since it's three of them, like Ed should get his wife, Beth Phoenix, and somebody that, well, they can't get Christian, because Christian, he's in AEW.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you could just get one other person or even get Gangrel, you know, that right there going against the Judgment Day, now that would be a classic.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Right. People Edge is connected to, yeah. That'd make a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a shame that I actually wanted to see Edge and Priest team up longer than they did because I always thought Aleister Black and Priest would have been a good team, and then I thought I've talked to Gangrel through Facebook streams, and he was like a fan of Priest and Dolph Ziggler, and he was saying that Priest would be. I asked if like Priest would be Brood material, and like obviously Priest would be. He's got that. He's got an ominous look and sound, but he's also cool at the same time. I just think right. Edge and Priest could have been that new Brood for WWE without the vampire stuff.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention New Japan since we still have time. Dominion was this morning and some title changes took place. And they even announced the G1 participants, too. There's, like, four blocks with 28 wrestlers. And I believe it's going to be six matches per block instead of nine. So it's going to be interesting. I'll go over the people in the tournament. The G1 this year, Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, Goto, Tomatonga, Shingo Takagi, Chase Owens, Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, Evil, Tom Lawler, which is going to be interesting because I believe that's his first G1, and he's been on the New Japan USA brand, New Japan Strong, and he's got that MMA background. Juice Robinson, if he's if he's cleared by then. I know he had some health issues recently. Had to have surgery. That's why he couldn't defend the U.S. title and had to be stripped. But Jonah, Yoshihashi, Toriano, Tomohiroshi, Jeff Cobb, Great O'Connor, Will Ospreay, Aaron Hinare, Sonata, Jay White. Jay White just became the new IWGP heavyweight champion. I think this is the second heavyweight title reign for them. Kenta, Del Fantasma, Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr., Lance Archer, Dave Finley. I don't think Lance Archer is going to win the G1, but I'm definitely glad to see he's in it, given his past with New Japan. And it's good to see some more foreigners in there. But Todd was alerting me. John, did we have a plug or ad that we had to go over?
Station break.
I guess we would say thanks to everybody at voiceofnorthgeorgia.com for having us on tonight, and as well as Tiger Radio, WLSC AM and FM, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach. So we're glad to have everybody with us. And back to you, Stellar Steven.
Yeah, and quickly, I think it's possible that Jay White could win the G1. He hasn't won a G1 yet. I know he's the champion, but the champion can choose their opponent for Wrestle Kingdom, I believe, who they'll defend it against. But and there's also a chance that Jay could lose it at Forbidden Door, too, to Adam Page. I don't think he'll lose it to Adam Page, but it'd be very interesting if he does, given the travel schedules, if they switch championships with an AEW roster member with Adam Page. If he does face Jay White, it's possible
now,
that Kenny Omega can come back. Yeah.
When is the Forbidden Door pay-per-view again? Is there a date for it? Anyone?
Yes, Steve, did you get that question from Papa Stro?
Yeah, June 26th. Sorry, I was looking it up just to make sure I didn't give you the wrong date. June 26th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So pretty soon. So this Dominion show was a big deal, and we'll see if more matches get announced for that card. I know Jay White said Adam Page could have Okada. And I know Jay White was really going in on Kenny Omega. I think he was definitely laying it in and saying he was the better Bullet Club leader. So I don't know if Omega can get cleared. He's had a lot of health issues that he's still lingering from, healing up from, but if he can, I think the big match would be Omega, Jay White over Adam Page, Jay White. But I think Okada, Adam Page would be great too. Tanahashi beat Goto. So Tanahashi's facing Jon Moxley for the interim AEW heavyweight title. I think Mox is going to beat Tanahashi, but that will definitely be an interesting matchup. Contrast of styles. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what more matches are announced for that card.
I thought Moxley and Kyle O'Reilly had a hell of a match this past Wednesday on Dynamite.
Sounds
really good.
And Zack Sabre Jr. called out Brian Danielson with a press conference after. And I'd like to see Zack Sabre Jr. face Kyle O'Reilly at some point, but definitely Brian Danielson. That's the match I've wanted since Cruiserweight Classic, when Brian Danielson had to be retired in WWE for a short while. I think when Brian was doing the commentary for that, that was the match I wanted to see, with Brian versus Zack Sabre Jr. So
the one match I wanted to see, whether it be Forbidden Door or whatever, if they can continue their relationship with Japan, would have been with Will Ospreay and Darby Allin.
Oh, yeah.
I think those guys could complement each other.
Oh, agreed. I saw that Ospreay was on AEW. I'm trying to look up the card right now. There's a fatal four-way for the AEW All-Atlantic Championship. It's not a bad-looking belt, but it doesn't seem like overkill that they're adding another secondary title.
This All-Atlantic belt, is it the equivalent of like when WWE had the European Championship? Is that where they're going with this? Or because it's all international, from what I'm seeing?
Well, that's the thing is, they have, like, the China and Japan flag, which doesn't make any sense. They're Pacific Ocean countries. So already, like, if they just called it something else, if they just called it, like, an international or some other name for it without those flags on it, it would have been fine.
It would make a lot more sense,
Like,
yeah, I was confused,
too. I just assumed it was, like, their intercontinental title alternative, but it's already kind of confusing, given the flags are already on it.
Yeah, it just seems like a misnamed intercontinental, right, Steve?
And it's a nice-looking belt, but it's just the name just kind of
messes with you. Especially when you got people competing for it from the Pacific and the All-Atlantic.
They already have the TNT title, so it's like they already have, like, a television secondary championship, too.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I saw it advertised, you know, when they came out with it and made the announcement, and I was, like, scratching my head. Like, okay.
Yeah, it seemed an odd time, given that they're doing an interim title with, you know.
And I guess with the whole Owen Hart tournament now, you know, like they gave the belts to Adam Cole and Britt Baker. Now it's going to be kind of like a King in a Ring thing, where they're going to be doing it once a year, maybe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would expect that too.
Yeah, but here's why I'm confused at. All right. Mm-hmm. They say that they want to do their own thing, but if they're trying to do their own thing, why they keep copying everything that WWE is doing? Because it looks like they're trying to follow in their footsteps, you know. Because WCW tried that, and you know, all they did was just, you know, get on a decline. You know, but maybe that's just me. You know, I just see a pattern there, because, you know, I would expect for AEW, you know, to have something, like, totally different. I mean, no disrespect to Owen Hart, great wrestler, great athlete, but, you know, it just seems like it's just like a pattern going on somewhere, you know, with this.
I think there's times or I don't really agree but disagree either, because there's times where they do angles, like with that giant Indian guy Satnam Singh, and it just screams at WWE to me. But I think they're trying to be their own brand, but there is times where it does come off WWE-ish. But I think and then you got the criticism, which some people find valid, like MJF was saying, they bring a lot of XWE guys, but they probably bring they gotta work somewhere, and if they're not gonna get used in WWE, they might as well work somewhere else where they're gonna get that big money. And then what I'm wondering is how soon Paige is gonna work in the ring or get a contract somewhere, because
a lot of things MJF said in his promo that they put out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know he was getting heat, but if you really listen to his promo, it'd be hard to argue against it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. So.
And there's still the rumors that the network is not pro-MJF, so there's a lot of real life and storyline merging, a lot of gray area. I'm just wondering how soon MJF comes back. Because I'm sure they don't, I'm sure they want to sell this, that he's got heat with, you know, Office, but at some point you're going to have to pay this off, and it'll be interesting to see how they use MJF going forward, because he's still under contract with them. But I was going to say earlier, I'm wondering what Paige does next, because that was like the big, that's like one of the most recent releases that are coming. And if she could work Impact or NWA, those other places, but I wonder if she'd be a big addition to AEW's roster if she does get cleared. Because I've heard she is feeling better.
This has been a long time coming for her, though. I mean, because she's been having her problems, own set of problems with them for a while. So, I mean, this is probably the best thing she could have ever done at right now, anyway.
Yeah, and I'm surprised she... I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because there's other people that've got, like, Brian had a brief retirement. Edge had a long retirement and came back, but I'm just wondering what's next with her. But, it's a lot going on with wrestling right now. I'm definitely looking forward to New Japan involvement with the AEW, but it's some interesting times for sure. And then there's always the NXT releases too, and because there's that whole edict about if they don't get if they don't improve in 90 days or more, like they could be cut, like we saw some before. So it seems like they're going to cycle talent furthermore.
Gosh, they've gutted it so much. Now you got main from the main roster heading down there to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, Maestro, maybe you could even validate me on this. It's like in WCW, you take the power plant. So many guys went down there trying out for the power plant. Some made it, some didn't make it. The ones that made it, you know, we kept training and training. And I remember when they put up an NWO poster in that gym that day. And Hogan wasn't even mentioned. None of those big stars weren't even mentioned. And next day I know we got word that if he wasn't already in the star racket, you know, we was going to get cut. Because they had to cut people in order to make those budgets to pay Hogan, pay Nash and Hall, because, you know, just like right now, the WWE, they're on a budget, and they can only afford to pay but so many people. And that's why they're giving these guys time they need to improve, and we're going to take the best of the best, and the rest of you, well, you know, thanks for being here, but we got to send you home.
And then And then they'll cut the stars too. Like they cut the Fiend. He was a big merch mover, and they'll cut him, and they'll cut Malakai Black, Aleister Black. That's why it's hard for me to really care about the TV.
I think in that situation, there was more to the story than what was being said. I believe there was like some creative differences between the two parties.
Oh, sure.
That kind of led to that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
It's going to be interesting what he does next, because he was teasing a possible return or some something in the future. Because I thought he would show up at Hell in a Cell or Raw after, but obviously he wasn't because of the appearances that he was going to make before and after publicly. But, I'm surprised. Unless he's asking for too much money, I'm surprised he's not signed somewhere already.
You know, I feel for the people that's getting cut, but, you know, like they say, you know, that's business, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that.
That's still true.
That is true. And I tell you what, this is Dr. John. We got 9 minutes left and like to go around the room and see what everybody has to plug. That sound good, Steve?
Sounds good. Who do you want to start with, John?
We'll start with Sinister and then go with Papa Stro and then Todd and then you and then I'll close her out.
Sounds good.
Well, still training this week, and July the 9th, be going to IAW to play the commissioner to change up some rules, and that a lot of people are going to get real teed up at me about. So that's about all I got going on.
Uh-oh,
nice.
They're going to get teed off on you?
Yeah, they're not going to like the rules and the way I change things.
That's
awesome. They're not going to like it.
All right, Papa Stro, what you got going on? You always have a lot of good things happening.
Well, let's hope they're all good things.
Absolutely.
In the room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bsnation.com. There's Thursday night, WCW Retro, this 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bsnation.com. We'll be discussing the career highlights of Uncle Terry Funk. So if you got any cool Terry Funk stories and memories, please call in. Friday night, Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature will be The Brain That Wouldn't Die back in the day, so please tune in. And then Saturday, I'm doing commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment at the Craven County Fairgrounds in Newburgh, North Carolina. I think doors open at 6:30 and bell time will be at 7. So if you're in the area, please come on by. It's a great night of wrestling. And thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on.
Todd, what you got going on?
Man, I got to just make sure we're talking about Velvet. He had a birthday, another year around the ring, or another orbit around the sun. Velvet, we love you. We miss you. All the best, brother.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one. Thanks a lot, man. And Stellar Steven, what do
Thanks,
you have?
Sir. Thanks, guys, for being here, and Velvet for letting me be a part of his show. And, looking forward to the 18th, United Elite Wrestling in Richmond, Virginia. That should be a fun show. Definitely looking forward to the card and helping out. And so, that's pretty much what I got going on next. Just trying to get more roles in and get more shows in. But thanks for having me, John, and I'll let you finish.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. We were glad to have you. Glad to have you, Todd, Papa Stroh. Great to have you in Sinister. This weekend, I just came back from the Withville, Virginia UFO Fest. It was a lot of fun. Met a lot of people and had a great time spreading the word about all the great things we do. And so I'll be back there next year speaking. And we just got a lot of great things coming up, especially 1 week from tonight at 7:30 p.m., we'll have another round of pro wrestling interviews. So I want to say thanks to everybody. Glad everyone was here. And we'll see you next time, same bat channel, on the one, the only, pro wrestling interviews. Good night, everybody.
Be safe.
Good night. Big hugs. Yes, sir. Y'all take care.